I'm Adam Mock, a 40-something-year-old film critic, I guess.
Yeah, you're still that.
And today on the show, we have a special surprise for you. We are going to celebrate Friendsgiving.
The surprise wasn't Carly, but Carly's here.
Hi!
Well, she's the other surprise. We haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead. Hi, I'm Melanie Weir, and I need to take off my bracelets. Every week.
It wouldn't be Friendsgiving without
I'm Melanie Weir, and our surprise is sitcoms.
That's right.
Sitcoms, hooray!
So we realized when we were searching through the library of Thanksgiving movies that there is no library of Thanksgiving movies.
There's like three good ones, and we're going to be doing one of them next week.
Like, we've seen most of them.
Yeah.
So we decided to finally get around to doing all the sitcoms that we've always been talking about showing each other. So the three of us each picked one episode, a Thanksgiving episode of a sitcom that we love, and showed it to the others.
That's right.
And the rule was that one of us, at least, had to have not seen it. Now, Adam showed us his first, and he's dressed very appropriately.
WKRP in Cincinnati's most popular episode, Turkeys Away.
Indeed. How are we going to do this?
I figure we'll let Carly start, we'll do you, and then we'll do mine. Or do you want me to go first and go that way?
I just realized, how are we going to... Are there trailers?
I'll put in a clip from each episode.
Oh, you're so smart. Yeah. Clips.
Don't worry, we got it figured out.
Cut it out.
Oh, God, you just made us do a Full House reference. Thank God it's not one of the episodes we're doing.
I actually hated that show.
Oh,
really?
Like, I didn't hate it. It was like sitting in cheese.
Yeah.
You know? It's
like,
so
my sister
nice,
would
though.
Put it on after school, and I liked a few of the episodes, but even I, at a young age, was like, this is a lot.
So what episode are you doing, Mel?
So I am showing, and I had a hard time deciding, but I landed on Punkin Chunkin', the Thanksgiving episode from season 3 of Modern Family.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah.
And Carly?
Hello! I'm so excited to be here. Sitcoms are like my whole thing. I don't watch movies. I watch a lot of sitcoms on rerun, and my favorite sitcom ever is New Girl. I love it so much, and so and there are so many Thanksgiving episodes, and they're pretty good, but I did Thanksgiving 3.
Okay.
It's titled Thanksgiving 3, which
it's
is
the one
not
in the woods,
descriptive.
Guys.
They just number them, right?
It's in the woods. Yeah, there's Thanksgiving 1, Thanksgiving 2, Thanksgiving 3.
I also am really more a sitcom person than a movie person. I'm a movie person through osmosis because my dad was a movie person and I grew up in his house. But really, I am also a person who rewatches sitcoms, and that's gonna be something.
I was a child of the 80s, so I was raised by television.
Nice.
It was just, here's the babysitter, sit down and watch TV, kid.
How did that go for you?
I got a job talking about it.
That's a fair point.
So I feel like everybody, like, growing up, like, it was like this middle thing where it's like, okay, television's not the babysitter, it's evil. And it's like, that's not true either.
No.
But I heard it a lot when I was a kid, like, turn off the boob tube and go do something productive. I was doing productive things when I was watching TV. Look at this.
Like, here we are.
Here we are. It's a medium.
So I'm going to play a little clip from the episode and we'll get to talking about it.
What a sight, ladies and gentlemen. What a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. No parachutes yet.
Happy skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're turkeys! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes. One just went through the windshield of a parked car. Johnny, this is terrible. The brothers running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the humanity. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. See, folks, I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. Those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. film at 11.
Welcome back. What did you girls think of this episode?
This is excellence.
This is truly just pinnacle at great TV. This was clearly the ancestor to so many sitcoms. There was The Office in there. There was a little bit of Seinfeld in there.
Little Cheers. Everything. It was just, the show's from 1978, I believe.
But it was kind of just like sketch comedy, and we were watching it, and yeah. I realized that, like, oh, mockumentaries are kind of like sketch comedy reinvented almost. Like, yeah. Some of it is longer, but you get a lot of those mini stories that are just basically sketches that they do with a fun camera and talking heads to disguise it from us because we don't want to watch sketches in sitcoms anymore because it doesn't feel real.
Yeah, so if you can find this episode, because WKRP dealt a lot with music because it's about a radio station that switches to rock. And they bring on this new guy, and that's basically the premise, is just this guy acclimating to these weirdos who work in the office. And this is season 1, episode 7, if you can find it.
Really funny that we did this the week after we did Airheads.
Oh my god,
which,
right?
In the middle, they switch from rock to softcore radio.
Yeah. So the episode is about the boss. I'm trying to remember the names. It's been so long since
I watched Michael Scott.
100%. Like, Gordon, the most Michael Scott of Michael Scott.
He's Michael Scott if Michael Scott was, like, a man from the 50s.
Arthur Carlson, who's played by Gordon Jump, he was one of the Maytag men in those commercials for Maytag.
Oh!
I loved that guy! Yeah, the chubby one. He died a few years ago. He comes to the office, and Lonnie Anderson, who is this buxom, gorgeous secretary.
Oh, she's great.
But yeah, she's amazing.
She's not an airhead. She's basically running the place. And she won't let him go through mail because he's a fuck up. She won't let him deal with anything. She gives him junk mail just to make him feel better.
Ask me to get you coffee. Ask you to get me coffee.
Oh, could you get me some coffee?
No, sir. We agreed I don't do that. There's a line.
She's excellent. And Gordon Jump's just feeling like he doesn't have any control over anything. All the DJs kind of make fun of him when he comes into the booth. And, like, there's Johnny Fever, who he was in the Clue movie.
This is just Creed in a different era before the drugs messed up his brain.
Yes, like, if Creed knew what was going on. Like, Creed when he was, like, fine.
Yeah, Creed, like, maybe, like, 30 years before The Office.
Yes.
Running a radio station somewhere, running from the cops.
Yeah, so you have all these, Howard Nessman plays Dr. Johnny Fever. He's just, like, the cool DJ, like, the kind of pothead-looking one. You have Tim Reed from Sister Sister, the dad on that show. Mm-hmm. He plays Venus Flytrap, who's also a DJ. And he's like, he does like the ladies' man hour. You know, it's like everything's smooth, baby. Like that kind of shit. He was awesome. Then you have Richard Sanders as Les Nessman, and he's kind of the most important character in this episode.
Les Nessman is so funny. I love, because even in the first moments, not to go into the end of the episode yet, but the first thing that's like, oh yeah, how was your morning? And he just jumps into like, well, my morning was good. And then traffic coming in on the A. And you're like, you know exactly who this person is. And they just like can't get out of work. It's just so brilliantly written because it's so simple, but it's so funny. It's like work is his entire personality, but he's a radio announcer, so
yeah, he's the news guy.
Yeah,
and he just plays it to a T.
He also, you said it, but I was thinking it too, he reminds me of the guy who plays Piglet. He's just like, oh, a little guy. Oh. He's just kind of walking around like this. Oh. And he's just saying things, and he's being very, he's even toned about all of it. He sounds very genteel
because he's a newsman.
He's
so
100%.
The premise is, in this episode, the boss feels like he doesn't know how to run anything.
Just sort of impotent.
So he's decided he's come up with a radio contest.
Oh boy, did he.
And he's working with Frank Bonner, who's Herb Tarlick, who's kind of like the wannabe Lothario of The Office. He's always trying to get laid. He's always trying to hook up with Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, yeah,
shoots
that
him
guy.
Down. He's just a 70s dirtbag, like one of those like lounge lizard looking guys.
He's a bootlicker.
Yeah, and him, Les Nessman, and Arthur Carlson decide, we're not going to tell anybody what's going on. It's going to be a surprise for Thanksgiving. So they ordered...
Who's the guy who walked in and I was like, ooh, he has a nice, he's built nice.
Oh, that is Gary Sandy, who played Andy Travis. He's the one who they bring on when they do the switchover the first episode.
Ah, this was Jim.
He's the everyman of the show. Like, he's the one that doesn't really have a character.
He was standing there with a straight face, being very cute and very charming and reasonable, but also very nice.
Yeah, and he was packing them pants, huh?
Oh, he was wearing very nice pants and a nice... You know what? You know what? We just had
you
a conversation.
You can see what religion he was.
We had a conversation as to whether men could dress like sluts. That man was dressed like a slut.
But he was like cowboy slut. He always wore... Because yes. I think he's from the Midwest, so he's always wearing cowboy shirts.
I just... Carly actually read me for filth because I was like, he has a nice body. And she was like, yeah, he looks like Will.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of Will energy.
I believe my exact phrasing was also like, wait, I think, actually, I forget my exact phrasing. It was basically that.
You said it much longer. You were like, I mean, just like the general, like his shape and the hair and like the way he's wearing his shirt, like he kind of looks like Will. And I looked at him and I was like, oh.
Well, tell Will to take care of himself because that's what he looks like now.
No. I've seen Will's dad. Will's dad's much cuter than
there
that.
There you go. So nobody who's actually on air talent besides Les knows what's going on. And he's standing out, he's going to do a report from the street as a helicopter is going to fly by with a banner that says Happy Thanksgiving. And he's sitting outside this shoe store going, I'm Les Nessman for WKRP in, and they're like, Cincinnati, and he's trying to be like typical newsman, and this guy from a shoe store is like, dude, get away from my door. You're blocking the customers.
And he tells him, don't you know who I am?
He's like, no, get the hell away from my store. He's like, fair enough. And he moves over. And it's all from his point
of
view.
They did no promotion for this. They not
just,
one lick.
It's just him staring at this chopper.
Cameras on him.
And
narrating.
His reaction to what's going on and the crowd around him running like maniacs. Because what they decide to do is, the promotion is, we're going to throw turkeys out, live turkeys out of a helicopter because the boss thinks they can fly.
All you hear before this is a guy going, all right, for this promotion, I'm going to need a helicopter and 25 live turkeys.
And they're like, what do you need 25 live turkeys for? Don't worry about it. You're going to see it on Thursday.
So that's all we know.
So Les Nessman's just sitting there. He's got his little earmuffs on. He's like, and here comes something out of the helicopter. Oh. It's falling to the earth rather quickly. People are screaming.
the news announcement that just like they're screaming. People are running away in terror, and it's just
oh
so
god, it hit the hood of a car.
Oh, the humanity! That is the line of the episode.
Oh, the humanity! And also, what's so well done about the show is it's silly, it's funny, and it's honestly so simple but super intelligent. But what year did this come out?
78.
78? That makes it, because like the 78, 80s so mirrors our kind of like generation disparity of today with like boomers. So watching the like young, basically like Gen Z types back at the office being like, what are these old idiots doing? And then seeing the old idiots like doing these
now
things.
Now we have an idea and you all have to listen to us. Now remember, we're in charge around here.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and they're like, no, this is a bad idea. But then it's such an energy of them being like, well, we're really cool and we know exactly what's happening. And you can tell they're obviously not always right, but I don't know.
The station is failing, apparently.
The station is, I don't remember. I haven't seen the show in a while, but I think they're always having some kind of an issue because they're trying to become like the big rock station in Cincinnati. And like I said, the show is hard to find because there were so many music licenses that were used on the show that weren't actually, like, given permission.
Oh no. We fully did not watch this leak.
So a few episodes...
Pirate this, you have to.
That do... We found it on, like, a Facebook channel from, like... From... I don't even know what country it was
I couldn't even find it on, like, my regular sites.
Yeah,
not
no.
Not that I pirate ever. That's
no,
fully illegal.
No.
Absolutely
no.
So they, I just mean, like, I monitor. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it, you would hear... Almost like they would just hire somebody to throw together a really generic rock song with no music to fill in the gaps for the episodes that they could. But the show was like 4 seasons long and they used music in every episode. So it's really hard to find any of this like just streaming somewhere. But this one you can find on, most likely you'll find most of it on YouTube.
And that is how copyright law kills art, folks.
Kind of, yeah. But it
I
also
agree
protects
that artists needs to be paid.
Yeah.
But lawyers get in the way and they should stop.
Yeah, but this is considered by many probably the most popular Thanksgiving episode of any sitcom. The only one I was going to choose over this was the Cheers food fight episode.
And we still have yet to watch Cheers.
Yeah, I'm going to get you guys to watch Cheers because that honestly is my all-time favorite sitcom. That show, I've seen it straight through probably as many times as you've watched The Office. I mean, I'll put that on. That's my comfort food. Like, if I'm depressed,
everybody knows your name.
Cheers comes on.
I know the song.
Oh, yeah. That song just goes through you. I love it. It's so, it's just like, oh, you heard it and you were like, oh.
Have you ever seen the episode of Friends where they're in London and Cheers comes on and Joey gets homesick?
I didn't watch a lot of Friends.
Go where everybody knows my name. New York City.
So that's pretty much the episode. They just, it's reactions of the crew sitting in the booth listening to just the chaos that ensues.
But they also have this wholesome ending, though. Like, when they're all, like, when it's like, ah, why would you let the old guys do their thing? And it's like, no, because at the end of the day, it is still his station. Yeah. And they do know some things. And then everyone starts being kind to them. And it's like, hey, you know what? That was an... I think it's the best compliment in the world, because it's honest, but he's like, I have never heard of any... I'm butchering the quote, but it's like, that was such an original idea. I have never heard of anyone trying anything like that before.
And then there's this hilarious part where he goes into his office, and all of a sudden it cuts to, what's his name, Les? And it's just like a close-up.
Oh my God.
And it looks like a horror movie. And he's describing what happens. And he's like, after everything settled, I think he landed them, and he set the rest of the turkeys free as a gesture of goodwill. But then it was like the turkeys launched a counterattack. There was blood.
It was like they were... organized! And they start attacking the crowd.
I got stuck in a phone booth.
Turned on me!
I had to run for the phone. Was like they knew.
I locked myself in a phone booth!
Oh, and then it's so amazingly excellent. He goes away, then he's walking into with the other guy into the office, and the main boss then walks out
a moment later and just
yells, I swore to God turkeys could fly!
And to God... I thought turkeys could fly.
That's the end. It goes to black. It's brilliant. Yeah. It is a brilliant Thanksgiving episode where you don't even see Thanksgiving at all.
You have to watch it.
Like, you don't even know it's Thanksgiving until like the 20-minute mark.
When it opened, I thought it was just going to be like Three's Company humor, where it was like a bunch of weird like jokes about sex and misunderstandings. But it was just, and at the end, I was like, this is the predecessor to every sitcom I like.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's 100%.
This and Taxi were probably the original workplace comedies.
I can't wait to watch Taxi.
For the most part, at the time. Like, those were the ones that kind of shaped the workplace comedy, in my opinion, to a really funny, cartoonish level.
I've just decided that we have to do a spinoff podcast about sitcoms.
We should.
Absolutely.
On Patreon, we'll do that. Make some money off
100%.
This. 100%. So that's Turkeys Away. So who's up next?
That would be Carly went second.
Hello. I am... So here's the thing.
Speaking of Avril Lavigne, I'm going to go on a tangent.
Love it.
Uh-oh. She launched a new fashion line today.
Have really? No.
Yes. Okay, so I had an Abby Dawn sweatshirt that I wore constantly from the ages of 13 to 16. That was her fashion line at Kohl's. She launched a new one with, and I have the tweet saved, so I'm just going to pull it up. Killstar.
That's insane.
And it is... All of it's so cute. It's like Halloween skeletons. You get halfway down the page and it's all just pink and black, with like light pink and black, like middle school aesthetic, the color that they made everything for middle school girls, I think, between the years of 2007 and 2009. It's just so cute and I want to buy all of it.
Oh, hey, Avril Lavigne.
I'm obsessed.
You need a sponsor.
Well, look at my hair. I'm trying to be you.
You literally look like Avril Lavigne with your new hair. It's honestly insane. I was thinking that before, so it's crazy you brought her up. I was like, I'll tell her after the podcast, but now it's happening in the middle of it, and I'm jazzed.
I'm actually really trying to be Harley Quinn. It's before Halloween. You're hearing this at Thanksgiving. It is before Halloween. So, yeah. The pictures from Halloween, by the time you're listening to this, will surely be on my Instagram. Follow my Instagram. It's at mel.ohh.dramatic. And now's the part of the show where we all have to drop our own social media, because we should be doing that.
Mock_Adam on Instagram. Add_Mock on Twitter.
Mine is just Carly Palestina everywhere because I know my name.
Yeah, that's good. And also on Twitter, mine is Spoopity Boop, SpoopityBoop. I'm going to change it because I'm getting tired of having to spell it out loud.
And email is feedback@MadeYouWatchAPodcast.
Yeah.
And we're on Twitter too, so.
That's so legit.
Anywhere, you just look up Made You Watch on any social media, that's where you'll find us.
I'm sorry, now that I've interrupted you, you did a little commercial.
No, it was a brilliant commercial though. Hooray!
Now, back to the show.
So, I think that it must be noted, duly noted here, that I think of television shows, the best Thanksgiving episodes of all time are actually in the show Gossip Girl, but that is not a sitcom. It is longer, and it would require far too much context to go into. But New Girl, my favorite show, obviously it's in there with like other ones, it doesn't really matter, but like it's a perfect show. It's, well, chef's kiss, amazing. They have honestly some pretty bopping Thanksgiving episodes because I think a lot of shows, like, on their holiday episodes, they kind of cop out on it because they're like, oh, this is a holiday.
It's
like,
a family holiday.
Yeah, you can just be like, oh, yeah, it's family. Like, someone gets mad, and then they get together because they're family. Not together, whatever. So there were an array of New Girl Thanksgiving episodes to choose from. I almost did the parents one. I almost did the dead body one. Mm-hmm. And then, but what we...
I thought you were going to do that one.
I almost did Thanksgiving also, which is almost all of them. So those were the four I was chewing from. They're all so good. But what I did go with was Thanksgiving 3, which is when they go to the woods. And the idea is that Nick feels emasculate, is because of things Coach said to him, is starting to feel like emasculated and feeling like he's losing himself and his relationship with Jess and doing girly stuff. So he's like, Jess, I got an idea. We're going to have Thanksgiving in the woods. And then Jess like, okay, sure. Like, as long as we can, like, sit down and eat together. Of course, Nick brings exclusively beer into the woods and is like, this is where we'll
Jess
find
is
the
like,
food.
Was it
30 warm beers?
Yeah. Well, you can't forage for beer. So.
I loved what happened to the pies that I made.
So let me play a clip from it.
Yeah.
And then we'll get discussing this one.
Fox Tuesday.
This is our Thanksgiving meal. 96 warm beer.
New Girl hunts down a holiday feast.
The ultimate test of our survival skills.
So ditch your plans.
Oh, I'm coming!
And dive into the fun.
Yes!
Head first.
Why?
New Girl. All new Tuesday at 9, 8 central on Fox.
Welcome back. I don't watch a lot of New Girl. I watched a little bit of it. I didn't love all the characters in the beginning. I think they evolve into something I would enjoy.
They take time to round out. By season 3, yeah. They're awesome.
And I was kind of burnt out on, what's her face for a while?
Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, she kind of hit this peak and I was just kind of done with her for a little while. And now she's with a property brother and I don't know if I could ever go back.
I think Zooey Deschanel is wrong. Wonderful. I want to be her friend.
Don't get me wrong. She's adorable, but there was a time where it was like, Zooey Deschanel, Zooey Deschanel, don't stop. She's the only girl. She's perfect. She's hilarious. She's adorable. It's just like...
She's the only girl.
She's good. She's fine.
She was like the Manic Pixie Dream Girl at a time when Manic Pixie Dream Girl was something that everybody wanted to be, ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was. There were so many people vying to be the next her.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I think that personality trait, I got burned out on.
You don't need another her. She's cool because she's unique. We don't
she
need
is.
Yeah. The next her. Well, we need different.
And Schmitty takes a little getting used to. If you're not
just
used
Schmitt.
To if you're not used to Schmitt, he there was one episode where he grated on me so hard. He was just acting like such a himbo jackass.
Yeah, and he's not a himbo.
No, but I mean, like, everything was like, I broke a nail. Oh my god, my hair. And he had these moments and I'm like, oh man, you're a bit much.
He is metrosexual.
There are episodes like, where he's had me cracking up from what I've seen. Like, I do like the show. I just never went back to it.
Here's the thing. Will was watching this with me. He stopped watching it because he could not. Schmidt was his favorite character, and he could not stand how far he had fallen.
I think that's when I might have been watching it. When he just got weirder and weirder.
I want to get him back on it because, like, the end is worth it. I like. Yeah. I even like the final season and all its like weird.
Like
shit.
I missed all the Rob Reiner stuff. I missed all the Jamie Lee Curtis shit. Like, I really wish I'll probably go back and watch
We're
it.
We're going to watch it for the sitcom podcast.
Yeah. Like I said, no shade on it. I just, it came out at a time when I wasn't really in the mood to watch it.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was, just timing.
What's funny is I hear that from a lot of people, is because I love the show. I think it is one of truly the best written comedies there is. The writing is so smart and it's like, it's so tight. But I have so many friends who I've talked to and they've been like, oh, you know, I tried watching it, wasn't really my thing, or I didn't really like it. Then I'm like, no, watch it again. And they watch it and they're like, this is my favorite show.
Yeah.
Like, this is brilliant.
Like, I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
And I stopped watching it and watched it again in college when it was finished.
Yep.
Like, even Jake Johansson, I don't always love the characters he played. He won me with Spider-Verse. When he played Peter Parker, he was so good at it.
Oh, yeah.
When he plays, like, the alcoholic...
I heard his voice, and then when I looked him up, I was like, you're kidding me.
He's just that spent alcoholic MJ left me Spider-Man, and I'm like... Dude, that would be me as Spider-Man. Like that, just wearing sweatpants and the Spider-Man from the neck, from the waist up.
Well, you made the comparison. You're like, he's like if Charlie Kelly were like a sane person.
Yeah.
Not really a sane person.
And looked slightly like Oscar Isaac for some reason.
Like he was raised in slightly better circumstances.
Yeah, just like one eighth better.
If he had somebody give a shit about him in his youth, he would have been fine. Other than his crazy mother.
They could do a crossover episode.
Their
and, like, reveal that they're cousins.
That would be so good. That would be amazing. Because also, I think it was you that said it brilliantly. It's honestly broken my brain. That New Girl is just Always Sunny if the characters were, like, likable.
And had good jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like, had money. And I was like, yeah, that is it. And no, like, shade really on Always Sunny.
Only Schmidt makes money.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what was... So, I'll let you go into it. So, they... Jake Johansson's feeling, like, kind of a wimp. And his friends are making fun of him since he started dating Jess. Because they finally start date. And what was it? I had two beers the other day and I was like wasted out of my mind. What the hell is happening to me?
And I didn't want a fourth.
And I got all giggly and tired. Because he has a Chicago accent. That's not a Chicago accent. I apologize.
That was like Minnesota.
Cool. That was Minnesota. I can do Chicago sometimes, but I'm too excited. I get Chicago's too excited when I talk
tricky.
About New Girl.
Kinda,
and
you gotta kind of talk out of the side of your mouth.
A Chicago accent.
Just talk like the little kid from the Goldbergs, you'll be fine.
The kid from the Goldbergs.
Adam Goldberg has a Chicago accent.
But he's supposed to be from Delco.
Yeah, I know, but he's always talking like this. Hey, Barry, what are you talking about?
Chicago.
Do a Delco accent. All I have to do is either get drunk or say the phrase from the SNL. Tina Fey says it on SNL at one point. My friend Dave and my friend Dave and my other friend Dave saw this guy get shanked in a Wawa parking lot. And that's the Delco accent.
That's pretty good. So they decide to go to the woods. Nobody wants to go except for JJ.
Just Nick.
Yeah, Nick's crazy and he's losing it.
And Jess is trying really hard to be supportive.
And they basically end up on this kind of turn of events where the way they convince everyone is Nick's like, we gotta go to the woods. And then Jess is like, yeah, okay, I'll try being supportive here. And then she's like, I will bring Cece, which obviously Schmidt is like, I would love to go to the woods. I've always had the thought that I would be an amazing camper.
I'm making excellent. What does he say? Woodsman.
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 And then there's a part where they get there. This is why I love.
And I love his outfit, by the way.
Oh, it's
he's dressed like the
freaking. Not my cowman's cap.
Oh my god, he's wearing like a leather version of what the dude from Jurassic Park wore. Yeah. You know, like he's dressed like Sam Neill in Jurassic Park, but like fashion forward. Yeah. It's so fucking weird.
But basically they end up going through the Nick splits everyone into groups. The men are hunters, the women are gatherers.
And Winston's like, nah, I'm not hunting. I'm a gatherer. Which, yeah, that's Winston. Winston gets his own gender.
Winston's
I don't
awesome.
Know what it is. He's still a man, but he's not a man like the rest of them. He gets his own.
Yes. And he is also vehemently against this, as is Cece. Winston's like, no one ever does what I want to do, but fine, we're here. And obviously, Jess tries her best to be like, here are some berries, or they're poison berries, and they'll kill us.
She's like, it could be chicory root, or it could be jasmine. And she's literally doing something Uncle Iroh does in Avatar.
And then they end up, the foraging team gives up. And goes to the store.
They go to a grocery store.
Grocery store.
Cece's like, all right, there's a farm market about 2 miles up the road. Looks dusty but doable. Or something like that.
And they come back with, like, really nice produce.
An avocado. Also, a bush. Did you get those cashews? A bush.
Where'd you get those apples? A bush.
A bush.
Oh, yeah? The bush have a sticker on it, too?
We walked to Oregon? Guys, I thought we walked far.
It was so far.
And where does this takes place in Seattle?
LA.
LA. Oh, okay.
And then while the women and Winston are foraging, the men are hunting.
Oh,
Nick digs a bear trap. Schmidt tries to create a. Oh, yes. Would you like to talk about the
that
scat moment?
Made me. I was choking on that. When he was just. He's like, oh, this could be a bear. This could be scat. Oh, it's scat. It's definitely scat.
He's like, it's scat. And Nick's like, I think that's a raisin, dude. And he's like, no. Clearly, because he expected it to be a raisin.
Just the face he makes, he's just like eating shit that he finds on the ground.
Anybody have gum? No. Good. Didn't want to eat anyway.
I love the level to which they just get so petty and competitive with each other, where it's like, no, that's a raisin. It's like, it's not a raisin. It's poop.
And he just
definitely.
And then they go. And then what? They go fishing?
Yes.
They try.
And what was it? Jake Johansson like basically gets
Is it Jake Johansson or Jake Johnson?
It's Jake Johnson. Jake Johnson. But I didn't know an time to say
you
that.
You could have just told me.
I know.
I got IMDb in front of me. I'm getting it wrong. I always call him that. I don't know why.
It's I understand. Right. I get everyone's name wrong. Except I just love these characters. These real people.
So what happens when they go fishing?
So Nick finds a dead fish and it's like, I'm going to catch this one.
That happened to me when I was on a camping trip once. We were doing all these like planned activities and I was really excited, looking forward to like the beach day because like we get to hang out on the beach with like our friends and like I don't ever get to do that. I go to the beach with my family. But we go and it's a lake and I already don't like this because I'm used to the ocean. And we walk into the lake. I see floating in the water a few feet in front of me just a dead fish. And I walk back out and I go to the showers and I'm like, this is my swimming now. I'm just going to stand under the cold water for half an hour. I don't like camping.
I agree.
I love camping. I absolutely adore camping. I mean, get to do it enough.
Will and I went hiking once and we stayed in a log cabin with no internet and that was fun, sort of. We had to go to town and download shows because there was no way I was sitting in a cabin alone at night not watching TV. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Sometimes Fair. We didn't watch TV. We played chess and stuff, but like I wasn't going all night.
Yeah. Nah.
So they go fishing and he comes back. He
finds the dead fish.
With a It's like a black. It doesn't even. It looks like leathery and.
It looks like a piece of hippo meat, man.
That's what it was. It looks like a piece of. Yeah. It smells okay. And then Jess eats the fucking thing.
Well, much later.
Just because she wants to prove that she loves this guy.
Just to be supportive. Like, they're marching back. He gets really mad that, like, they bought the food. And he's like, I caught a fish. And Jess is trying to. He walks away to be in silence while they're, like, sitting eating the stuff they bought. And she's like, no, I'm going to eat it. He's like, Jess, don't do that.
And when do they fall in the bear trap?
So after she eats the fish.
Yes. She eats it and then goes immediately insane. She's walking around. She's like, I would just like to see some carpet samples before I make a real purchase. And everyone's freaking out looking for her. Because, of course, Nick does not stop Jess from swallowing it. Because he doesn't want to admit to the fact that he caught a dead fish. Because it's the one piece of pride he's holding on to. But she does commit and she swallows
it.
Yes, he really does think so.
And he's just about to... He tells her to spit it out like just as she swallows it, I think. He's He's like, listen, hon, I got to be honest with you. Oh, no, you swallowed that.
And he's just like, I found that fish next to a dirty sock.
And then she, like, goes to throw up, I think, and that's when she gets lost in the woods.
Yeah, she goes insane, and then everyone's looking at her, and Coach, who Schmidt and Coach have been in the middle of their own tiff overseas, because Schmidt wants to be, like, the best camper, and Coach is like, I have been
at
an Eagle Scout
Schmidt
for years.
Schmidt hurts his arm, and he's like, oh, no, what are we going to do? And Coach is like, I'll make a sling, and he burst into action. He's like, how do you know how to do that? And he's like, I was an Eagle Scout, man.
Yeah. And he's like, we wanted you to let you be the best camper. And Schmidt's like, don't let me be the best camper. I am the best camper. Yeah. And now they're wandering through the woods, or Jess is wandering through the woods, and Coach is like, oh, I recognize that. Remember, callback, the bear trap Nick created before. Coach is like, look out. Jess falls into the bear trap.
And Nick dives in after her.
Yeah, he dives in
face
hard.
Face first. He's like, I think I cracked a few ribs.
And then I think it's Winston who's out there and just goes, head first, why?
So how did this all end? I'm trying to remember.
They pull them out. Jess is full on crazy.
She thinks she's a rabbit. Oh, she That's right. has your favorite
I think
line.
She thinks she's a rabbit.
What was the line?
Ding!
Oh, they pulled the...
Oh, they like, tied tie all their jackets. Oh my god! Their jackets
together. No, 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 no! There's a great part where they're like Schmidt and Coach are yelling at each other, and finally Cece goes up to them. She's like, "All right, fine, we gotta settle this. Just both of you take off your pants."
And they have a moment where they're like, "What are you talking?" Because they've just been talking about her.
And then she's like, "I know how to make a pants rope." And it's like, "Oh, they put the pants rope in the hole and just grabs it." She's like,
"Ding dong, ding dong." That tickled me. That absolutely tickled me.
It's so funny. And they end up getting them out. Nick immediately falls back in the hole. But then Jess ends up in the hospital with Nick lovingly by her bedside and says one of my favorite lines, which is, "Well, the good news is you don't have rabies, but you do have Giardia and something called Legionnaire's disease." And
we have to rewind it.
Because he says it in the voice of someone that's like, "It turns out the doctor says you're okay," but it's not.
Like, it's something called Legionnaire's disease, which is something you get from like drinking contaminated water or like swimming in dirty mud.
Fucking gross. Oh god, yeah, you may have made me a convert on this show.
Oh yeah,
I gotta watch some more of it.
Absolutely, you do. It's so good.
So that's Thanksgiving.
And then it ends on a nice Thanksgiving note where Nick's like, "I have an idea," and everyone's like, "Nick, shut up." But it ends up being a good idea where they gather all the hospital food and they bring it into Jess, and they kind of have their Thanksgiving meal together because it's like, we know you just wanted to eat together with us, yeah. And she's like, "Well, you guys start eating because I'm not gonna eat
for a few months."
Yeah, it's gonna be a while, and then it's cute.
You were throwing up a lot. It was scary.
My favorite food they bring back is just a white bag that says snacks.
And something called snack. And then there's also a really wholesome moment with them when they're just like all hanging out as a group where they really just start talking like how friends really banter with each other. And Schmidt's just like, "Oh yeah, Nick found all this food in the woods." And then like everyone starts laughing with each other. It's just such a cute, wholesome Thanksgiving ending. So it's like maximum chaos, but then like ends nicely.
Yeah.
It's every Thanksgiving episode for the most part.
That's valid.
I love Thanksgiving episodes because it's such a stressful holiday and it doesn't need to be. It's almost like everyone just makes it stressful because they feel like they have to.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to impress and make perfect and this, that. Just get drunk and eat turkey. Like, yeah. Literally, just get drunk and eat turkey, watch a little football, you'll be fine.
That's all you need.
Don't talk politics.
My family's been doing really, really simple, really nice.
What's your grandmother's rule?
Simple thing. Oh, Nana has a no politics at Thanksgiving rule, which I think is very nice of her.
Ever. I'm telling you, you need a placard. Instead of a...
Shout out to Nana.
Yeah. Instead of a centerpiece, it should just be a little thing that just says, no talking about politics. No politics at my table.
Nana's rules.
Genius. Nana's. Absolute genius.
Oh, yeah. So we've been doing just really chill. We sometimes there's littler kids there now, so we play board games.
Yeah.
And we would play Quiplash. Well, we played Quiplash
I
one year.
I love Quiplash.
It's really nice, honestly.
What's Quiplash?
Oh, dude, we have to play Jackbox games together.
You would love Quiplash.
I didn't realize it was Jackbox.
It's a Jackbox game. It's just, have you played Fibbage?
I've heard of it.
It's sort of like Cards Against Humanity, but it's like about your friends. That's the best way I can describe
it.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
It's not quite that, but like it's just a very fun game.
Dude, I just played Cards Against Humanity for the first time at your birthday.
Oh, you did.
That was the first time I ever played
it. That's right. You are a natural.
I wasn't great at it, but
no, Will just kept picking the same. No, Will just kept getting the best ones.
He got twisted cards.
Oh yeah.
He got the most fucked up cards and he had no qualms playing them.
He's also for somebody who really doesn't love that game, very good at playing.
And I was playing with a lot of people I didn't know completely, and I'm like, "Oh man, is this going to be too much?" And you're just like, "No, it has to be as fucked up as possible." I'm like, "Oh well, welcome to the game, Adam."
Here we go.
Once you get the hang of it, you'll be really good at it. It's also helpful to know people's favorite cards. My favorite card is bees. Somebody plays bees, it's basically like an automatic win.
That's
funny. My brother's is the milkman.
The milkman.
I don't know why.
Oh man.
Anyway.
All right, so we are doing Mel's episode, which is entitled
Punkin Chunkin. It's from Modern Family Season 3.
Episode 9.
Indeed. And in this episode, it's mostly about Cam and Mitch, at least title-wise.
Yeah.
Because it starts with Cam telling a story to a couple of strangers on a park bench, it would seem, about the time that he and his friends from back home on the farm launched a football on a catapult through the goalpost.
Was it a football or a pumpkin?
A pumpkin. The length of a football field. I almost said a football the length of a pumpkin field. pumpkin the length of a football field through the goalpost into the open sunroof of a pastor's car. And Mitch gives him a wah wah when the strangers don't quite laugh.
Well, what was the line? He had like a, he was like, oh.
I don't know what's worse, that he competes every Thanksgiving in a pie-eating contest, or that he's 9-time runner-up.
It wouldn't be Thanksgiving without the contest.
Yes, it would.
Man, I think I have to tell my pumpkin chunkin' story.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
No, I kind of think I have to.
Once Cam and his friends tried to slingshot a pumpkin across a football field. 3 seconds. That's all you need to tell that story.
So the fog was rolling in over the mountains like an ominous blanket as we readied the giant slingshot. You know, Lorna, the pastor's daughter, she was nervous because, like I said, it was after curfew. She was a goody-two-shoe, only pastor's daughter I ever met that was. So we finally launched the pumpkin, and it sails through the air, goalpost to goalpost, past the end zone, into the parking lot, through the open roof of Lorna's dad's car. I turn to Cody, and I say, now, what are the chances of that landing there? He says, where? And I say, the sunroof of a preacher man.
Wah, wah.
What are the odds of that happening? Through the sunroof of a preacher man.
Wah, wah.
And I feel like if they had just given the strangers a little time, like, Mitch was being a jerk.
Oh, no, he was totally being a dick.
But also, he was like, just take that one out of your rotation, you know? Because I think people really like the stories you tell that are true.
Yeah.
And Cam is like, what?
It's
that
true.
Is a true story. And Mitch is like, the length of a football field through the open moon sunroof of a car in November.
Like, oh, and Missouri. It was like, it was an unseasonably warm day. It's like, yeah, I could tell by like the fog you mentioned before rolling in.
The fog was rolling in.
Oh, my favorite. This is just so like my sense of humor. I just love when he's like, three words. That's all you need is to tell the story. We threw pumpkin. And then Mitch is like, it was a cold November morning. The fog was ominously rolling through the field. And it's just so funny.
It's one of those times where Mitch is just kind of being mad at Cam for being Cam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like one of those things where I'm like, how long have you guys been together? Like, do you not know this about him? Have you not already had this fight?
I'm pretty sure I've done that to Mindy a couple of times.
It's just interesting, their dynamic. I don't ever quite understand what Mitch is trying to fight with Cam about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just Cam is so, as much as he's unsure of himself, he's completely sure of himself.
Yeah, and I get when he's a lot, but I feel and like Mitchell, Mitch never picks those fights.
And Mitchell's a stuff shirt. He's just a complete, like, wet blanket about everything. Everything plays for everything, everything in its place. He's like Ariel Winter's character.
Like, he lets Cam slide sometimes when he's being a monster.
Yeah.
But he picks weird fights when he's being, like, I don't know, charming and from Missouri. He's really rude about the Missouri stuff.
Yeah. So there's two B stories to this.
Yeah, so there's this, and then at home, their old neighbor, the Dunphy's old neighbor, is coming to visit.
Kenneth Plouffe.
And he was the kid who lived next door when the Dunphy's moved in, so they would have had, like, a new baby, because they had Haley, like, right after they got married.
And he's played by Josh Gad.
Yeah. And so Josh Gad shows up, and
yeah. Go ahead.
They do something called a man shake.
It's like a 20-minute hand jive,
yes,
basically.
That ends with them going, roll up the curtain. And bumping their bellies
that
together.
Was and what was it? The wife just like, she's waiting. She goes, you know what? I'm not even
like
sticking around.
Shake.
I'm not even sticking around
Are
for
sure?
So you find out that Phil was the inspiration for this kid his whole life. And this kid's extremely successful.
You find out that he's like a millionaire. He just keeps buying awesome stuff. And like, he's like, yeah, I'm in town to buy a blimp, actually. Like, the company's hugely successful. I didn't go to college. And then there's another B story where Haley's like, interesting, you didn't go to college. And Claire's like, no. Haley, you're going to college. Turns out Haley didn't really need to go to college.
No.
Anyway.
And poor Phil is just... He doesn't think his wife ever believes in him.
Josh Gad's character is like, every time I go to do something, I'm like, what would Phil do? And then Luke's like, why aren't you doing what Phil would do? We should be rich by now. And he tries to do something creative, and Claire comes in, and she's like, why did you do that?
Yeah. She's so annoying with him. And Phil is one of the sweetest characters on television.
I love Phil Dunphy.
Like, he is just so... You feel sorry for how sweet he is,
because
he's
TV
just
dad.
Such a good guy, and he never, all of the things he does is with great intent, and
he's
it just
sort always, of a beautiful idiot.
Yeah, he really is, and his son is following in his footsteps.
Yeah.
And they decide, they invent a head-scratching helmet?
The real head-scratcher, TM.
And it
did, TM.
Oh, yeah, he's always saying TM so he can trademark everything.
It's trademarked.
And it's like they make this stupid commercial for it and everything. What? And what was, there's one more, Manny's centerpiece.
Oh, there are Manny two more. Like, there's a C and a D story.
Manny made a centerpiece.
It's hideous.
It's really, really weird looking.
It's just garbage and forks.
Jay wants to tell him, Gloria says no, you'll crush his soul.
No, yay! You're going to make the boy depressed. I love her so much.
My mother used to criticize everything I do, and now look at me. I am a jumble of insecurities. And just pointing to Sofia Vergara.
She's a fucking 12 and a half.
Yeah, literally. And then also there's the there's yet another plot where Haley and what's the other sister's name?
Oh, Alex.
Alex. Dent their mom's car.
Yeah. And Alex is having a panic attack because she could not keep a secret or an information from anybody.
And it was her fault because she was showing a video. A
picture of Josh Gad. Yeah. And like they were looking him up and like, look, he didn't go to college. Look how successful he is. He lived next door. I remember this kid.
Did she hit? She didn't hit a parked car.
She hit a trash can.
Yeah, she hit something. Like, yeah, that's what it was. And the whole episode is just them trying to distract the mom to a point where the mom will get in the car without noticing this human-sized dent in the side of the car. And so, like,
Haley's, like, playing logic loopholes with Alex to get her to calm down. Like, she knows how to talk to, like, her strange neurodivergent little sister, which I love. She's like, listen, it's okay. Mom's going to go to the grocery store, and she's not going to see it before she gets in the car. She's going to see it at the store, and then she's going to think it happened at the store, which it technically did, so we're not lying. That's my older sister. Oh, wow. I was Alex. That was Mary.
Oh, I was totally Alex. I couldn't lie.
I couldn't lie or keep secrets.
I can't lie. I had friends like, dude, can you keep a secret? I'd be like, don't tell me. I don't care if you stole a Jolly Rancher or if you buried a body. I don't want to know.
I could keep them for my friends, but I couldn't keep information to myself. I always felt like everyone could see through me and I should just confess.
Oh, yeah.
Fair. I think it's interesting also in the episode how you end up, like, they do such a good job creating the two teams, we'll see later, of one person in every single family or, like, partnership unit being like, no, you need to do it logically. And somebody else being like, no, we can figure it out this whimsical way.
Yeah.
And they do such a good job of structuring it. So you end up at this, like... Thanksgiving.
The Dunphys for Thanksgiving. Dunphys. Pritchett's, Delgado's, the Dunphys for Thanksgiving.
And I didn't realize her last name was Delgado in this.
Yeah.
That's funny. Hmm. She hyphenated it.
Oh.
I'm looking it up, that's why I'm trying to remember names too.
They go to the Dunphys, they all show up, and it's divided by the kitchen island.
Mm.
And it's on one side, everybody's talking about their own fight, and they're all like vague posting each other out loud, which is just, I think the word is snark.
Yeah.
They're all just like being shady. And finally, Cam says something, I think, and he's like, oh, well, don't listen to them. They're the Pritchetts. They're going to kill the dreamers. Look at them, stepping on the dreams. And then Alex says something, and she's like, well, yeah, none of that makes sense. And it's like, go over there. You're a Pritchett.
So it's like the wild-eyed ones and then like the logic.
The four logical ones on one side because it's just Jay, Mitch, Claire, and then Alex.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just the four logic brains.
And the is it at this point where Jay shits on the thing and he finally tells him the truth?
Before they go inside, while Alex is trying to very, very not convincingly cover up the dent in the car, just like by standing against it, like, hey guys, how's it going? He takes Manny aside and he's like, now listen, the centerpiece, it's not your best work. Your mom didn't want me to tell you this, but you can handle it, right? And Manny's like, yeah, of course, I can handle it. He's just walking inside like this. And then as soon as he gets inside, he throws it in the garbage. And that's how the conversation starts.
Yes, that's the way.
They're like, oh, no, what happened? Jay told me it was bad.
And then they start having this whole thing where Cam's getting, and that's where the logic comes in. It's like, because they don't believe the story. And everyone else is like, yeah, like, statistically, you can't do that with a pumpkin. Everyone's like, fine, let's go find out right now. And what's the mom's name again?
Claire
ends up being like, no, show some respect. I've been cooking for 8 hours. And then Phil just...
They all sit down and they're like, you're right. Your turkey looks great, honey. Great job. And then finally Phil is like, does it smell like turkey? And I thought I smelled chicken.
All right, let's go right now. And then they're all up and out of there.
It's great. And it's such a good, and you know Claire's, if you've watched the show for long enough, you know Claire's going to do that.
Yep.
And you know that Phil knows exactly which button to push.
But then when they all end up at the football field, it's with the pumpkin. It's so cute because all the skeptics are over in the corner and all the little dreamers, they launch their pumpkin and...
It like goes like 15 yards.
It really does not go.
It does not go at all. And, but when it doesn't go, they're all ready for the skeptics to be like, haha, we told you so. But they're all like, oh, darn.
This should feel better.
Yeah, like we wanted this to work.
Yeah, Mitchell's like, in some weird way, I really wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, that was a good first try.
We could just walk down the block. There's pumpkins on everybody's porch. Let's just take a few.
Yeah, I love that their idea was like thievery.
Love that. And that was all Jay's idea. He's like, come on, kid, we're going to steal some pumpkins. I honestly, you're right, I would be Jay when I'm old.
Yeah.
I am going to be just an old, grumpy, whiskey-drinking dude.
But, like, still nice.
Yeah, no, like,
and you'll love your animals.
I just won't understand the world around me, but I'll accept the world around me. Just pour me a highball and fuck off for a little while.
Last night, my roommates had on the season where he starts selling the dog beds. And I watched there's this episode where he's trying to sell them on an infomercial. And the camera just goes in his face and he looks so lost and confused. And he's like, I'm Jay Pritchett. You probably think I'm going to talk to you about closets. And he's crying. And Gloria's like, why are you mentioning closets? Nobody's going to ask you about closets. Nobody knows what that is.
Oh, that's right. He makes modular closets, right?
No, he's just the closet guy. Like, that's his whole thing.
Well, that's what I mean. Doesn't he, like, build, like, all the modular things in the closet? Yeah. He designs closets for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you meant by modular.
That's the one thing. I forgot that little, like, story beat. What's the dog's name? Stella?
Stella.
I love that dog. I love that little dog.
Anyway, that was a really funny shift because he gets so old and soft at the
end.
Yeah. He's dancing on TV.
They get a pumpkin. They launch it.
You see that they've launched like five pumpkins and they do that classic Modern Family ending where it's an overlay of somebody giving a speech. And I think it's Cam and he's like, look, you would think the dreamers would find the dreamers and the realists would find the realists. But at the end of the day, the dreamers need the realists to like keep their heads out of the clouds every once in a while. And the realists, without the dreamers, they might never even leave the ground. And as they says that, you see a pumpkin sail and it doesn't go to the goalpost, but it goes really far and everyone was working together to get it there. And it was really exciting.
Yeah. But it hits the car as Ariel Winter tells the mom what happened.
It sails through the air, and after they launch it, but before it hits anything, she's like, Mom, I distracted Haley while she was driving, and we hit the car hit a trash can. I'm so sorry. And the pumpkin hits it in the exact spot. She's like, oh, girls, 30 more seconds, and you would have gotten away with it. It's like, you stupid.
But not for nothing. Why would you park your car there?
Why would you tell her at that point?
Why would you park your car there?
It could have happened. You were sitting near a football field. It could have happened. Like, Alex, you didn't even need... Alex.
Like, come on.
And then also, as it punches out, you hear Lugar, we've tried a pumpkin, let's try a person. Come here, Lily.
Yeah.
Because this is still during that plot line where he's like, she's the new cute one. We have to get rid of her.
Yeah. So then they go home, and there's the little joke about the hair, the head scratcher helmet.
Oh my god!
And it gets caught. It basically looks like a baseball helmet that has these little what were they called? Nogginators.
The nogginizers.
Nogginizers.
Yes, my patent pending nogginizers.
Which were just supposed to scratch your scalp, and it's this big ugly and you can wear it anywhere.
It's a baseball helmet.
And his hair gets caught.
Oh, that happens before. Yeah, that's before they go to the field. That's another dream crushing moment.
She's like, all right, Phil, go get the real head scratcher, TM, and we'll see. We'll see exactly how much money that I kept you from making.
Just that noise when he turns on, it's like. He's like, get the scissors, get the scissors. That's a good episode.
It's a really good one.
It's really fun. I'm amazed. They juggled a lot of story in that one.
They really did.
There's four plots going on simultaneously. It's usually like maybe three.
Like super well. And like I realized I was going to have a hard time talking about it. But as soon as I looked it up, I'm like, oh yeah, that connects to that. That connects to that. Yeah. They're really good at weaving stories together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that many characters, it's so difficult.
Yeah.
You know, like that many characters, that many personalities. And again, that's the beauty of sitcoms. We've kind of got it down to this weird science.
It's such a nice, because it's a flexible science.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And
it depends a lot on the characters, because that's what sitcoms are, character driven. I feel like mm-hmm. movies a lot more often, and they can be,
story.
But like if you're going to paint with broad strokes, movies are more about the plot and sitcoms are more about the characters.
Totally. Yeah.
The only thing is like you just need weird location, like bar, loft apartment, radio station, a documentary crew filming your family.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of plugging in such opposite characters that you can just write around them perfectly.
You need all the ingredients.
Yeah. Yes. Now sitcoms are fun. Like I love the science. There's almost like this weird science behind them, and I like the way it's evolved over the years.
It feels like the way we're studying like humans and like social interaction.
Yeah,
certain extent,
which makes it great for Thanksgiving stuff. Yeah,
totally.
Because let's face it. You're just putting a bunch of characters who normally are not in a room together
together,
yep.
Sharing a meal that is very important and you wait all year for it.
That's so true. Meal.
You know, I mean, Thanksgiving
is a sitcom.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to. No, you beat me. I stepped on your
sentence. Let the comedian tell the joke, man.
I'm so sorry.
Not at all. But yeah, so that was Friendsgiving.
Indeed.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yeah, I don't think we have to rank anything.
No.
They were all great, honestly.
Because we picked episodes we all liked and we all knew the others were going to like. I will say I was a little worried about mine because I haven't seen it in so long.
Mm-hmm. Yours was the best.
So great. I haven't seen you laugh, Mel, like that in so long. Like there were moments where you were laughing harder than me and I was just like, I figured it out.
It was just so weird. It came out of left field and it was just the right amount. One of you said it's like the perfect amount of dark.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Yeah,
it's so good.
I think we had a lot of fun this episode. And next week on the show, choosing our Thanksgiving episode.
Indeed. I was excited about this.
Yeah. And I chose kind of the king of them all, y'all. The best, what I think is one of the best Thanksgiving movies ever made. It's funny, heartfelt, slapstick, and just cast perfectly. We are watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I'm so excited.
That's a great movie.
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, John Candy.
I love John Candy.
God bless him. Rest in peace. He was a gem. And this movie, I believe it's John Hughes?
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, but it's been so long. I don't want to be apocryphal.
It's a great movie, but it gives me anxiety. Yeah. It really stresses me out a lot. But I love it. Like, I'll watch it. But, I mean, I'm not going to be on this episode, but I will. My dad will make me watch it. He loves this movie a lot.
I know that my dad loves this movie, but I think the last time it was on and he could watch, I was not allowed to watch it with him because it was, like, uncensored and on an uncensored channel.
Really? And Michael McKean's making a comeback.
Who is that again?
Michael McKean was the asshole guy from Airheads who ran the station.
Who I recognized from. And then literally that night, I put on The Nanny and the episode that he was on came on.
Yep. Kevin Bacon's even in this.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It's a small role. This was 1987. John Hughes wrote, John Hughes directed. So you know you're in for a good time.
This will be fun.
Yeah. So next week on the show, we are going to celebrate Thanksgiving a second time around with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
If you have a long trip to make, it'll come out the day before Thanksgiving so we can keep you company on that long trip.
Yeah, take us to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Tell your family.
Put us in your ears discreetly when people are talking about things you don't want
to
hear.
We'll try not to curse too much around Nana. Oh, man.
When we're watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Oh, I just curse a lot. I'm talking about me.
Oh, well, all right. Well, see, we made you watch a podcast. I have been Melanie Weir.
I've been Adam Mock, and we had our special guest,
Carly Palestina.
And we just made you watch
a podcast.
See you next time. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Enjoy turkey. Or if you don't eat turkey, something.
Tofurkey.
Eat something nice.